Hello and welcome to your bonus episode of Green by Nature, the podcast from Greenbelt Group, created by experts for experts. In our main SUDS special, Alex Garrett and Neil Berwick shared their expertise in working with sustainable drainage systems. If you haven't listened to it, it's a must for anyone interested in helping to shape the future of house building. In this episode, Alex and Neil discuss education and evolution through their first-hand experiences of two award-winning new home developments.
Obviously, one of the things that Greenbelt does very well is if you like, stewardship of green open space, and part of that is moving towards Green Flag Awards for very good standards of open space for the public. There's one site specifically that comes to mind that a lot of work being put in there over the last several years, which is the North Hamilton site in Leicester. So it's on in the Humberstone area on the northeast side of Leicester, and it's been awarded the Green Flag Award. And part of that has involved public engagement about how do we work with communities within that area, how do we enhance the site, and how do we increase usability of the site. And we've done that through a series of different events. We've been involved with the local residents committee. We've had lots of show and tells where we've walked over the site and explained what SUDS are. But as you touched on there, we've done a lot of work with the local primary school, Kestrel Mead Primary School in the local area. Fantastic school, great kids. They get an afternoon out or a morning out with myself and one of my colleagues, Nick Upton from Greenbelt. We spend some time walking around the local SUDS and explaining exactly what they are and linking it to the education, so the taught side of teaching as well. So the kids are learning predominantly about the hydrological cycle when they're in sort of generally year six. And again, what we're doing is we're reinforcing that teaching, but bringing it to life by showing kids, you know, what happens when it rains, where does that rain go, how do we manage the issues that can come about through rainfall. For example, flooding is something that's always in the news. And on that site in Leicester, on the North Hamilton site, there's a fantastic range of SUDS there. In fact, the largest site that Greenbelt has on its portfolio, it has over 20 basins on it and series of interconnecting swales and four incredibly large wetlands at the base of that site. And in terms of how SUDS design goes, it really is a bit of an exemplar, because it shows how you can interlink drainage within the built environment, and you can create these really interesting blue-green corridors that will enable movement of people and animals, importantly, as well as manage the water through the site, and by doing so, slowing the flow. And I think, I'll probably ask you about that in a minute, Alex, but I think what's always quite interesting is the difference in terms of how we maintain the North Hamilton site, because we obviously have the bulk of it where the basins of the ponds are. It's on quite a steep slope, and it's generally well maintained and more sort of what you and I would probably describe as parkland effect. But when you get down to the bottom of the site, there's four large wetlands, which are man-made engineered wetlands. So, you know, you find that there's a different feel when you get down there, and that's an area that is great for bird and animal life. In fact, it has the RSPB Orange List gadwall duck, which is an endangered species. It has habitat down there, which is fantastic. But maybe you'd like to sort of touch on the differences in terms of maintenance and what you would see as a person walking around that site.
Yeah, it's the site itself. You have very high amenity areas right outside people's houses, which are expected to be maintained to a reasonably high standard. But we also have educated the residents in a way that they appreciate that the actual SUDS system itself has a very detailed level of management within itself to allow all this filtration and cleansing of the water as it flows down through the hillside that you mentioned. But I think not only do we have these various areas of high amenity, then sort of as we get to the bottom of the site, tends to go, it's a sort of moderate amenity area. It's, you're entering into the countryside, and eventually when it gets to the wetlands you talk about, they're very low maintenance wetland areas to allow the habitat and vegetation to adapt naturally. And these are that's the habitat that these animals and ducks and birds love. That's what these untouched areas. So we just go in and make sure that the inlet structures, the outlet structures, all that is functioning and you know, clear to function. The whole system can operate at any time correctly, but you do that in a way that you don't affect the habitats at all. But what we've also found is North Hamilton site we've had for several years now, and one of the key things we've realised over time is we're now at the point where we're starting that cyclical maintenance, where we need to go in, we need to thin out certain areas because the vegetation has got so thick. So it's all about, not only are you managing the different habitats, but you're managing them at different levels of maturity, which is key. And you're doing that in a sensitive way to minimise the disruption to the habitats that's created over the last 10, 15 years. You don't want to just go and wreck them completely. So you need to do them in sections as time goes on. So each year now, we've got a rolling programme of operational maintenance where we're going in and dealing with the sort of denser areas for habitat management rather than just allowing it to develop over. So not only have you got the levels of maintenance, but you've also got the levels of maturity of the areas, which has a great impact on SUDS itself and how they operate.
Yeah, I think that really sort of reflects in terms of when you speak to people on the site, how they describe the space, you know, particularly when you get to the foot of the site where these wetlands are. You know, most people that are there don't actually realise that these are engineered structures, that these are predominantly about minimising flood risk, you know, and slowing the flow before it gets to the Melton Brook. You know, they're well designed, they're well integrated, and as you've explained about the management side of it, it's not like a public park where you'd find manicured grass. What you tend to see, particularly in the summer, is the flails out in the back of the tractor and with mowing access routes around the wetlands, and it enables access for people to get closer to nature. And at the same point, they're not actually realising this. That's a fantastic thing about it. It's a SUD structure, but you know what they've seen further up in the development with the swales and the ponds, you know, they do look more engineered, and there are some hard structures and hard surfaces in them, but the wetlands themselves, very cleverly designed, so you don't really see any concrete headwalls or pipes. You know, and what you see is just a lovely space for nature. And I think that's one of the joyous sites, that when you get a site designed like this, you know, the benefits are just fantastic. You know, it's ticking the box for what quality, what quantity, amenity and biodiversity. It's great. And I think that the North Hamilton site's just an exemplar.
Yeah, but before we move on to another one as well, again, there's the wellness walks that's been created in North Hamilton, and they were fundamentally drawn up around the SUDS system as it flows through the development. It's created the ability. So we have a 3K wellness walk that links the public open space with the 9 play areas on site. But we also have the 5K wellness walk, and that basically follows the treatment train all the way down to the wetlands and beyond, almost to the brook and back up. And that, and it's all mapped out on site with QR codes for directions through your phone, etc. So, yeah, getting the community involved and giving them the understanding of it is great. But I mean, North Hamilton's not the only award-winning site we have. You know, we have a great site in Barton and Seagrave, which has just recently won a Bally Award, which we are exceptionally proud about as well. It is it's more of an ordinary site, if you like, from a SUDS point of view. It has the housing development, sits on a sort of slope, runs down into an elongated basin that runs along the sort of foot of the site. And actually, beyond that, there is a triple SI area as well that Greenbelt manages. So the pond, as I say, pond, it's a really good size. It's an excellent size pond. There's a certain areas of different levels of management as well. We've got high amenity areas around the play areas and around the residential areas coming into round about the pond. Although we have amenity mown grass, the verges to the pond are managed, but we're allowing the biodiversity to extend from the pond onto the bankings. And the great levels of flora and fauna that are now developing in these sort of less managed areas are ideal.
The site of Barton Seagrave is probably a very good example of how you link urban design into the sort of the existing landscape. You know, as you've said, there's a triple SI there to the rear of the site, and I think the suds have been very cleverly designed, where on one side you have a series of swales which collect the rainwater from the top of the site and move it down to the low point where the pond is, and it's quite a large pond. Fantastic in terms of bird life. I mean, nesting swans there every summer. That pond's there for many reasons, but the main reason it's there is it's providing a very high level of treatment, so pollutant removal potential for the surface water that's coming from that development before it's discharged to the triple SI, which is a wetland area anyway. I think, interestingly enough, it does provide, if you like, not really a buffer zone, it's more probably a transition zone between what is the urban area into sort of peri-urban, you know, and into nature itself. And again, for anyone that spends time in and around that site, you often meet people that are out walking from the town itself. They're coming through the development, they're walking around the Suds Pond, and they're moving into the triple SI area. And it's just a very, very nice setting. And in terms of the homeowners that live there, fantastic site. You've got this great view from the houses down into the Suds Pond. So design's good for safety, so that water's always overlooked, because obviously you've got play areas within the area, you've got open space around the pond. But again, the design is thought really about safety and usability, where you've got things like picnic benches and bins around the water's edge. You've got footpaths all the way around the pond. So everything's saying, here's a pond, here's a lovely resource. Again, it doesn't look like an engineered structure. Again, it's quite cleverly designed. You don't see the head walls are not too visible. I guess if you're looking for them, you'll find them, obviously. But it becomes a usable space. And again, I visit all of the Greenbelt sites every year and do an assessment on them, how they're working, how they're operating, how they're being maintained. And every time I'm there, except probably when it's chucking it down with rainfall, is you tend to find families and people just using that space. It's great seeing kids down there feeding the ducks and feeding the swans and getting close to nature. You know, you find the ramblers that are going elsewhere and just passing through the site. It really is a lovely site. And again, I think one that definitely is deserved of the Bally Award.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Again, we've only listed two specific sites, but out of the 180, the variation in sizes and shape and components of them makes the sites really exciting to manage. They're always slightly different. Nothing's always the same. And in my own capacity, as part of the delivery team, bringing on the new sites from the house builders, the handover of these structures is so important. You need to get right into the design drawings on how they've been built, the capacity that they're supposed to have. So yeah, the variation is really, really great, and it's excellent taking on new sites. It's always something different you're going to with a Suds Pond. It's ideal.
Yeah, I think that there's a good variety of Suds across Greenbelt's portfolio of sites, and I think that's a positive thing, because, you know, as you said, it's a little bit about enrichment of what you deal with, and that goes all the way down through contracts, maybe bringing it over, and then it goes over to regional operations manager who are looking after the sites once they're live and they're adopted, and working also with the contractors. And I think one of the things that Greenbelt probably does particularly well is this knowledge development within the company, because you have a series of specialised assets. So obviously my involvement is to help with the sud side of things, but you have other things like play areas and woodlands, etc. as well. But there's a real dedication to knowledge development within the company. So yourself and the management team, you know, are all knowledgeable for these areas. The regional operation managers are trained and spend time on site with specialists. The contractors are trained both by the ROMs and by the specialists as well. So there's continuity in terms of knowledge. What is defined as good and effective maintenance? And it's one thing that I sometimes think is quite interesting, that, you know, a lot of times people will perhaps wrongly associate good suds maintenance with the absence of litter. That may not be the truth. The absence of litter may mean that there's not a lot of litter on the site, or the contractor's particularly good at removing that litter. It doesn't necessarily mean that the suds itself is particularly well maintained, particularly the bits that aren't so visible. So that might be bits that are perhaps out of sight or underground, which can include the important parts like the flow controls or the overspills. And these are things that hydraulically ensure that the suds function. And these are the things that, to give Greenbelt its credit, spends time checking that, you know, these are checked regularly to ensure that they're functional and operational. It's not reactive inspection or reactive maintenance. It's proactive to ensure that they are functional, because we all know that when things flood, it always, well, not always, but invariably seems to be like the worst time in the world when things flood, generally in the middle of the night, and it's very, very heavy rainfall. And again, locating structures and knowing where they are, knowing how to maintain them for remedial works, where they're located, I think is a big thing of finding them, particularly in the dark when you're in within vegetated areas. And I think Greenbelt has a very good approach to how it deals with its assets and its structures. So I think that's one thing that the company does particularly well.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much of suds maintenance actually goes unseen. The residents don't really know that it's been done, but these things are happening in the background. It's not just cutting grass or strimming or picking up the litter, as you're saying. There's so much more to managing a sud.
Many thanks to Alex and Neil for sharing their sud's knowledge and experience. You can find out more about Greenbelt Group, the UK's leading land steward, at greenbelt.co.uk.